Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Rivi'i, Wednesday, the ninth day. Ninth? Tenth?
And it's my father's yard site.
I know. Tell us your father's name.
Avraham Moshe Spiegel. It's his 58th yard site.
Say the name the way he was called up to the Torah.
Avraham Moshe ben Elchanan Yochanan.
Okay, may his neshama have an aliyah,
Thank you.
Especially in the zechut of his daughter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where was I? Yeah, corresponding to January 28th. And that's it. As far as Tehillim is concerned, we have two additions, not additions to the Tehillim, but we have a new extra reason for the first Tehillim that we say, which is thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the successes so far over our enemies. We heard this in the middle of Monday's Shir about the return of the final hostage body. And it was a very exciting thing here in Israel with Netanyahu saying Shehecheyanu and people officially removing the ribbons, the yellow ribbon that they had for a long time. And we should have that in mind, among many other things, and especially things that we don't know about. I mean, that's an important point also. And then when we get to the Tehillim of Bakashot, let's call it the uncertainty of what's happening with Iran and its terror proxies, and people keep saying different things and reporting different things on the news. And we need to be spared what could be a disaster. So let's start with Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelu El Bekodesho, hallelu Birkia Uzo, hallelu Bigvurotav, hallelu Karov Gudlo. Hallelujah Beteka Shofar, hallelu Benevel Vechinor, hallelu Betof Machol, hallelu Beminim Vugav. Hallelujah Betzilzalei Shama, hallelujah Betzilzalei Trua, Kol Hanashama Tahalelia, hallelujah. Kuf Kaf Aleph, Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'oretz, Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha, Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yiminecha, Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka, V'yoreach Balayla, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra, Yishmor Et Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeitecha Uvalecha, Me'ata V'yad Ol. Kuf Lamed, Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Krati'cha Adonai, Adonai Shima V'koli Tehiyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'kol Tachanunai, Im Avonot Tishmor Ya Adonai Mia Amod, Ki imecha haslicha lema'an tivare. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Mark.
Mishibiracha Vosenu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov, we farechas chayalets of Ahaganoli Yisrael, Ves Anche Kohos Habitachon, Haomedim Amishmar, Artenu, Are Elohinu, the Halochamim Badino, Min Halavanon, the Abidbar, Mitzraim, Yam Hagadol, Adlavo Haraba, Yhoma Kom Shahim, Bayabasha, Bavir Bayam, Etain Adonai, as Ayavino, Hakamima, Leno, Nigafim, Lithnehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yitmor v'yatzil es chayalinu mikol tzara v'tzuka mikol nega machala v'yishlach l'rachava hasacha b'chol ma'aseh yadehem yader eson einu tachtehem v'atarim v'cheser yeshua u'ateres nitzachon v'kuyam bahem hakasul ki Adonai Eloheichem ha'alech imachem lehilachem lachem im oyeveichem lahoshia eschem v'nomar. Amen.
Man, I prepared a new sheet, but I don't think it got, oh yeah, it did. This is it. So we temporarily put David out of business. And you know what? Hey, David, lead us in Achenu.
המקום ירחם עליהם יוצא מצר לברכה, מאפלה לאורה משיבה לגאולה, השתה בעגלה בזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן.
Yash koach. I find that very significant, so I'm glad I thought of it. I just want to elaborate a little bit on what I just said before. There are things, and you could think of it as an analogy to saying thank you to a spouse, a child, grandchild, parent, for something without realizing that there's more to say thank you for, but it's something they didn't hand you a gift, but they just did for you without necessarily telling you, and it certainly works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we consider the return of the final hostage body, and we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I am sure there are many, many things that we should be thanking him for that we just don't realize yet, or maybe never, that we have to thank him for. And similarly, you know, you ask, let's say you do a Yehi Ratzon for a person who's sick, and you say B'shar B'toch Shar Chole Yisrael, or anything like that. We mean it more inclusively, and that's why Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael is a beautiful prayer, because it's wherever they are, whoever needs it. You don't have to know the details, but we include all people who need any kind of refuah or salvation or transition from darkness to light. Okay. I want to revisit one thing I mentioned on Monday, which is coming up this Friday, and that's the story with the feeding of birds on Friday. And you'll see why I'm revisiting it. I mentioned on Monday two reasons for feeding the birds. First, you should know that this is not a super old kind of minhag. I don't know when it started, but it's not rooted in Gemara or in maybe Rishonim. It just came about maybe hundreds of years ago, but not all that long ago. But anyway, the first part I had referred to was the story with Datan and Aviram, who spread mun around the camp on Shabbat morning, looking forward to making a liar out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of Moshe. And birds came along and ate it all up, so they didn't have a chance to do what they wanted to do. I mentioned that that was Medrash, and I started looking for it, and I found that it doesn't appear any place in any Midrashim that we know. It's much, much more recent than the older Midrashim. Even when it's quoted as a Midrash, probably, or let's say sometimes, I'm generalizing now, that could be that it's Medrash-like. It feels like a Medrash. We don't have a story of Datan Aviram doing that in the Torah. It's attributed to a medrash, but when you look it up, you don't find it there. But that leads to the second point, which is there are medrashim that were existent in the past that got lost. So just look at the span of time. If you have someone in the 16th century that referred to a medrash and presented it or built on it, and we can't find it, it doesn't mean that that person didn't have a particular source with a medrash, which subsequently got lost. And especially if you go back to the days before printing, where that happened a lot. Manuscripts that were lost, books that were not printed for whatever reason and did not perpetuate. So it doesn't take away the fact that it's a nice thing to feed birds on Erev Shabbos Shira, but you should not think of it as a halacha. You should think of it as a minhag, and it's a nice lesson, especially when sharing it with children or others who can appreciate the gesture. And I just wanted to do that for sort of what do you call it? Something honesty. What's the word I'm missing? There's an adjective there. Intellectual honesty, not to give you the impression there's a medrash and that's what you'll say to someone else and someone will tell to you, no, it's not a medrash, like that. So that was first on my list. And then wanted to look again at the phrasing of Vayehi b'shalach paro et ha'am. Let's go back to the Makot. The Makot were primarily, no, let's go back even right before that. God says, sends Moshe and Aaron to Paro to say, let the people go. And he tells them in advance, Paro is going to refuse. Moshe did not say, so why are we going? You have to go through the motions. You have to say, let my people go. And if not, God will kill your firstborns because Bnei Israel is to him like a bechor. And Paro says no. So the threat of dam, and he refuses, and blood for a week. All the water changes to blood. And then Moshe threatens the frogs, and Paro refuses, and the frogs come. At a certain point, Paro says, okay, change my mind, because when does he say okay? He says, okay, when just get rid of this plague. So Moshe said, calls out to God to get rid of the plague. And it's not like God doesn't know that Paro is going to change his mind. And that is a broader question about God's knowledge versus a person's free will. But we basically analyze the whole thing here in Mitzrayim as Paro had free will, and you could either say he lost the free will at a certain point, or the free will was maintained by making his heart harder, stubborn, stronger. Okay, but when we get to here, we sense that this is not up to Paro anymore. This is what God is orchestrating, that he's purposely sending Moshe to take the people in a specific direction so that they will be blocked by the sea and mountains on both sides, so that Paro will be informed by his spies that Bnei Israel is leaving, and Paro will change his mind. And he does. And it seems from the pasuk that this was not really Paro's free choice, although people have free choice to act, but when, whatever. So he chases after Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel panic, and they say, as I mentioned, very harsh things. And this touches on another topic which we need to discuss, and that is Vayaaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, which is in the aftermath of the splitting of the sea and the return of the sea and the drowning of the Egyptians, that we first find a statement in the Torah that Bnei Israel feared and revered and were in awe of God. How come we don't have that in the Makot? I don't know. It seems that Vayar Yisrael et Hayad HaGedola Asher Asa Adonai b'Mitzrayim, Vayiru ha'am et Adonai, Vayaaminu ba'Adonai v'Moshe Avdo, that happened at this point, which led to Shirat Hayam. But, okay, I don't know where I know where I'm going with this, but there's too many little pieces. Yira, I translated into English as fear, but also revered and were in awe of. And those are not all the same. Let me refer to Rosh Chodesh benching, because I think it's an interesting observation that sometimes escapes people. When we ask God for many things in the coming month, one of the things we ask for is Yirat Shamayim, the Yirat Chet. Let me get it in front of me. We ask, V'titen lanu chayim aruchim, long life, chayim shel shalom, of peace, chayim shel tova, chayim shel bracha, chayim shel parnasa, chayim shel chilutz atzamot, which is health, chayim sheyesh bohem, yirat shamayim v'yirat chet. But then, chayim she'en lahem busha uchlima, chayim shel osher v'chavod, chayim she'tehei vanu ahavat Torah v'yirat shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is the only thing we ask for twice. Once it's partnered with Yirat Chet, the fear of sin, and the second time it's partnered with Ahavat Torah. So these are different levels of Yira, Yirat Hashem, Yirat Shamayim. The lowest level, which is not mentioned in that tefillah, is called Yirat HaChet. Sorry, Yirat HaOnesh. Yirat HaOnesh. I fear punishment, and therefore I won't do certain things. I'll tell you something personal. My wife Debbie has been into no lashon hara. She belongs to one of the groups around the world called Machsom Lafi, closing off my mouth. And every single day, the people in these groups are committed to pledge B'li Neder. I never understood why they say B'li Neder, because you can't talk Lashon Hara anytime. But they pledge 2 specific hours during the day that they undertake to avoid lashon hara at all costs. And I jokingly say, what about the rest of the time? But, sometimes when you have too big of a task to avoid lashon hara all the time, it's overwhelming. You pick 2 hours, and then that grows. Okay. Part of the commitment that she had, which I joined, I didn't join the group, but I joined her commitment, is to learn two pieces of Shmirat HaLashon every day. And we're married over 3.5 years. And every single day of that period of time, we have learned from different Svarim, cover to cover, on Shmirat HaLashon. When you read and repeat and review the punishments for Lashon Hara, the harm that Lashon Hara causes to the people that you speak about, to the people who listen to you and to you, it's very, very scary. That's Yirat HaOnesh. It works, but not completely. But that's the beginning of Yira. Then you get to Yirat Shamayim or Yirat Hashem, where I would move the English translation from fear to reverence, respect, and awe. And that is a higher level of, let's even throw in the word appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us and for the world, starting from creation all the way through till today. And that leads to Ahavat Hashem, which improves or enhances, let's say, our motivation to do mitzvot and to avoid averot. It's one thing to say, I don't desecrate the Shabbat because I'm afraid of the punishment. And it's a higher level to say, I don't desecrate the Shabbat because I am in awe of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in bringing this world into existence and continuing to be the master of the universe. And then you get to, I don't violate Shabbat because I sincerely love HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did and for being a Jew and for giving us Torah and mitzvot. And that's why I don't violate the Shabbat. And that's why I do some positive extra things on Shabbat, not just I don't violate. And then you could also say that Yirat HaChet, that term, brings it even to a higher level, this is the way some people look at it, of I don't want to disappoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sin, not because I'm afraid of punishment, but because he doesn't want me to sin. So maybe that's up there together with Ahavat Hashem from the positive side of the mitzvot. With that said, and I mentioned this again, and it's weighing on me now. Look at the language that the people used when they saw the Egyptians pursuing them. Vayomru el Moshe, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, they cried out to God, but then they said to Moshe, Hamibli ein kivarim b'mitzrayim. There are not enough graves in Egypt. Lakachtonu lamut bamidbar. You took us out to die in the desert. Mazot asita lanu. Mitzrayim. What'd you do to us by taking us out of Egypt? It gets worse. Halozeh ha'davar asher dibarnu elecha b'Mitzrayim lemor. This is what we told you in Egypt. Chadal mimenu, leave us alone. V'na'avdo et Mitzrayim, and we will remain slaves in Egypt. Ki tov lanu avod et Mitzrayim, mimutenu b'amidbar. It's better that we be slaves in Egypt than die in the wilderness. That's terrible, because it should have been just the Vayitzaku El Hashem, please God, save us. And I want to make sure that I have the sequence here. Vayiru ma'od. That's another word that I should have put in there in the pasuk. I'm trying to find exactly the sequence of when. Yeah, that happened later. The pillar of fire went instead of in front of them, between the camps, and then the thing processed. So they fled through the sea, and the Egyptians came after them, and they made it to the other side, and the waters closed, and they saw the Egyptians dead. And that's when it says, Vaya'aminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. So the Makot didn't do it for them. Yetziat Mitzrayim, part one, didn't seem to do it for them. And Yetziat Mitzrayim, part two, is Kriyat Yam Suf. I want to emphasize our tradition is that that happened on the seventh day of Pesach. The Torah doesn't say what day it happened, but that's our tradition, and it's based on analyzing the psukim. So Zecher liyetziat Mitzrayim is not just Leil HaSeder. It's the whole holiday of Pesach, culminating with Kriyat Yam Suf on the seventh day. And that works very well with Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh. On the first day, it's a Chag. Uvayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh. And it's on the seventh day, also a Chag. When it comes to Sukkot, 7 days of Sukkot, the first one is the Chag. We call the other days Chol HaMoed, but they're not Yom Tov. And the Yom Tov that completes Sukkot is the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, which is a Chag Bifnei Atzmo. Shavuot is the, if I want to continue what I've been saying, it's Yetziat Mitzrayim part three. We got out of Mitzrayim. Egypt is gone. We're free. But we become servants of Hashem at Shavuot time, and that's really what the plan was in the first place. So it's a package deal, and it's very hard to look at them as separate pieces. Now, I saw in Al HaTorah, which is also the entry that I put onto the website, a whole diyun of why God diverted the people towards Yam Suf rather than the straighter path towards Eretz Plishtim, which is part of Canaan. And the Mefarshim have different ways of looking at it, but the bottom line is that we, the people of Israel, needed more than a half year of no servitude. The Makot spanned 6 months, possibly a whole year. But let's say the 6 month opinion that they started on Rosh Hashanah and they went all the way through till Pesach. That was 6 months where Paro and Egypt were busy with the plagues, and we were not enslaved during that period of time. And then we came out, and then there was a week till Kriyat Yam Suf, and then there were six more weeks till Ma'amad Har Sinai, and that's not enough. Yeah, that was enough to get us ready to receive the Torah at Har Sinai, but it wasn't enough to change the whole psychological personalities of the recently freed slaves. And we see it in the reading in the same Aliyah that we have Oz Yoshiyah, which is the high. And then 3 days later, we're complaining again about water. Again, I say, if you're thirsty, miracles that you're telling about and celebrating don't give you rest from your thirst. You're still thirsty. The only thing would be a miracle that will give you water to drink, which is what happened once and happened a second time and happened a third time and happened a fourth time. So we celebrate these things, but in between, complaint. And you have the same thing with food, not just with water. In this Parsha has a lot of different pieces to it. But you have, in addition to Shirat Hayam, Oz Yashir, which seems to be, when you say Beshalach, you think of Shabbat Shira. But you have also Parshat Haman, the portion of the Mun, so cute cartoon on the internet. With the scene was back in the original days where the wife says to her husband, she's got a basket and says, let's go collect our mun. And he says, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm saying Parshat Haman. You know, Parshat Haman is a segula for Parnassa, but when you could go out and collect the mun that you're praying for, you know, reading Parshat Haman doesn't do the whole trick. Anyway, okay, they travel, they travel. Vayilonu. Kol adat bnei Yisrael al Moshe va'al Aharon bamidbar. They complained again to Moshe and to Aharon. Vayomru alehem bnei Yisrael mi yitein mutenu biyad Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim b'shichvenu al sir habasar. Back in Egypt, we had the flesh pots of Egypt, plenty to eat. Ba'ochal. Be'acholenu lechem lasova. We had plenty of bread to eat. Ki hotzeitem otanu el hamidbar hazeh lahamit et kol ha'kohol hazeh bara'av. And you brought us out of the place where we had plenty of food to eat to kill us by starvation here in the Midbar. Now, I don't know if I'm doing a nice thing for that generation. So I want to emphasize the fact that we don't judge or shouldn't judge them. We should just see it from our perspective. We know what's going to happen. They did not know what's going to happen. They thought they would die of starvation. We can't say to that generation, just read the next two psukim. Because they didn't have the next two psukim. The next two psukim is Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinini mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. I'm going to let it rain bread from the heavens. That's the mun. And it'll feed the people. And before that, the night before, they got the slav, the quail, and they had plenty of meat to eat. And we can look at it as, oh, why did they have to complain? Why couldn't they just ask? Why did they have to say those terrible things, which shows a total, a partial, total lack of emunah in Hashem, especially when they complained and God split the sea. And they complained and the water was sweetened. And they complained. So when you got one thing and got a second thing and got a third thing, then the next time you need something, you don't have to complain about it. You have to ask. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. But not to say, why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim to kill us here in the Midbar? And especially to insult by saying we had wonderful food back in Mitzrayim, which they say again later. They remembered all of the kishuim and all the good stuff to eat, and all we have is this mun, but that comes later. It's hard for us to read this. We have to be careful not to judge them. Although you know what the Mishnah says. Hold on, I'll tell you. Mishnayot, Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, right here. The famous introduction to every Perek in Pirkei Avot. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. Shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim l'olam yirshu oretz. Netzer matai maaseh yadai lehitpa'er. In the same Mishnah, not the next one. The Mishnah continues, which we don't use as the introduction to Pirkei Avot. Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. The Mishnah just said, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. And now the Mishnah qualifies that by saying, and these are the ones that don't have olam haba. As long as I'm reading it, I might as well give you the whole picture. Ha'omer ein tchiyat ha'meitim min ha'Torah. Person who says there's no such thing as revival of the dead from the Torah, or Ein Torah min Hashemayim, or Torah doesn't come from heaven, and an apikores. And Rabbi Akiva says, Ap HaKori b'svarim achitzonim, won't get into that. V'halochesh al hamaka, a person who says, based on the pasuk from this week's Sedra, actually, Kol hamachala she'asamti b'Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. A person who reads this pasuk on an injury rather than treating it medically and with proper tefillah. Okay, whatever. I'll browse through here. Dor hamabul ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. Dor ha'aplaga, anshei Sodom. Meraglim, Dor HaMidbar, Mishnah. Dor ha-midbar ein lohem chelek lolom haba ve'ein omedin badin. Sheneemar ba-midbar hazeh yitamu v'sham yamutu. Adat Korach. Very harsh. But we can't judge them. Totally different experience that they had. And I told you the story where you could get a little flavor of it. But we're supposed to, maybe we're supposed to say, okay, they didn't know any better. They were had a slave mentality. They panicked. Similar things to us, we can't panic. We have to be afraid sometimes, but not excessively. I've told the story back in the Gulf War of when everyone here was making a sealed room and had gas masks, and the siren goes off, and you take your gas mask, you put it on, you go into your sealed room, you tape the door shut, and maybe you say Tehillim or whatever. Excessive panic would be sitting on the floor and shaking and shivering and being ready to, I don't know what. There were people at the time who left the country. They could not handle the possibility of a missile attack. At a certain point, it goes from normal feelings of fear to where is your bitachon? Now, someone who doesn't fear at all, I think, is foolish. There were people, including a Knesset member from the Aguda party at the time, who announced that he doesn't have a gas mask and he doesn't have a sealed room. He has total confidence in Hashem that nothing will happen to him. I think that's very irresponsible. We had hishtadlus, effort, within reason. Wearing a gas mask, sealing the room, that's all. That's what each person was expected to do. More than that, army was at ready in case they needed to fight, and whatever. But not to go crazy in panic. So these are some of the lessons that come out of there. Now, on this pasuk of Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo, and then 3 days later, things seem to change, encourages me to share this idea. Open, wow kind of miracles, like the sea splitting and dry land appearing underneath. Except when the Egyptians came in, they were bogged down in the muddy seabed when we walked on dry land, are very impressive to the point where we have this idea that the simplest maidservant at Yamsuf saw more wonders of God than Nevi'im. On the other hand, the wow kind of experience wears off. It's too overwhelming and flash in the pan, but it doesn't grab you. The mun, by the way, was maybe less of a wow than Kriyat Yam Suf, but it sustained the people every single day for 40 years in the Midbar. And taking this a step further, this is what nature does for us. So let's put it into this picture. Hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. I don't know if that was a bracha that was said on the mun. And hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Which do you see as more miraculous? So I think a simple person would say mun coming from the sky. And someone who thinks it out should realize that the ability to grow crops and harvest them and process them and extract wheat kernels and grind them into flour and add water and other ingredients and bake them into a bread is so much more miraculous, but it doesn't get the wow because we say, well, I bought bread in the bakery. No, I baked it myself. It doesn't seem miraculous. It is. Try a simple thing. Eat some of the ingredients on their own. Then, when you make the dough by mixing everything together, try eating that before you bake it. Doesn't compare. And this is Rabbi Cardozo used to coin the phrase. I mean, at least in my experience, I heard it from him, which I like very much, and I wish I would have come up with it on my own. And that was the nature of miracles and the miracles of nature. And I have often quoted the short story by Anton Chekhov, a Russian author, who in the story has the following line: the problem with people is that if an orange tree bore frogs, they would be impressed. But they're not impressed that orange trees bear oranges. And that is the miracle of nature, which we are taught and trained never to take for granted. We still do, but we're not supposed to. And the bracha borei pri haetz helps that. And this I'm leading into Tu B'Shvat, so it's okay. The bracha borei pri haetz helps it. The bracha of Hanotein Reach Tov Baperot on a delicious smelling, fragrant smelling fruit that you're not eating. The Shechionu on a fruit of the first of the season. The bracha on seeing a magnificent forest. Beautiful. Knowing what trees can do for us. That's Shekochalo ba'olamo, the bracha on a flowering fruit tree before the fruits come out, first time in Nisan that you see it. I mean, when you see it in Nisan, the bracha of Shelo chisar ba'olamo davar. All of these brachot are meant, don't take fruit for granted. Don't take food for granted. Every food item that we eat has a bracha, and the fact that Chazal composed different brachot, they didn't go as far as composing a different bracha for every single thing. Imagine that. Sher kedishonu mitzvot. No, I mean, bracha tashem lekeinu melech haolam, borei et ha-besar ha-parah. We don't have that. That's part of Shechionu. Mayim, part of Shechionu. Potato chips. Bori Prihadama. What are you shaking your head, Mark?
Because, sorry, you said the Shekhinah and you meant Shahakal.
It didn't mean to say Shekhinah. I took that back. It came out by accident. I wasn't saying Shekhinah. I thought I was saying, see, I just started again. I didn't mean that. I meant Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. No, I'm confused now more than you are. Never mind. Anyway, the point. We read about the Aseret HaDibra. There I go again. We read about Shirat Hayam, Kriyat Yam Suf. You can't deny that it's one of the major miracles that we learn about. But I'm putting it into a perspective that when the sea closes, you have continuing miracles. The waves, the tides, the life that the sea sustains, not just the fish, but everything else that's in the sea, the minerals that are in the sea, the evaporation from the sea to produce rain. First as a cloud and then to give rain. I mean, there's so many things that you could marvel at the wonders of God's creation of water and the sea that it almost makes the one-shot deal of splitting of the sea trivial compared to all the things we get because there are seas of water. Over two-thirds of the entire earth are covered with water. Two-thirds. We're used to the one-third, less than one-third of dry land that we walk on. And we're not very happy when it floods. But an appreciation. But one is necessary for the other. I don't think we could get close to appreciating the sea except for this amazing miracle. Same thing with the sun and the moon. Sun and the moon, sun rises in the east, sets in the west, sunrise, sunset, every day. And when you know how it happens because of the rotation of the earth, you don't change the song till Earth rotate, Earth rotate. You still say sunrise and sunset. That's our perspective. And it means something, but when you read of the miracle with Yehoshua of Shemesh B'Givon Dome, it must have been an amazing thing. Can't imagine. I can't imagine what it would mean to have 24 hours. Well, that you could, depending on where on earth you are, there are places with 24 hours of sunlight. But here, where I live, where you live, I'm used to daytime and nighttime and the periods in between where it gets darker and gets lighter. But to have an experience where for 36 hours, according to one opinion, it was daytime with the sun not moving in the sky, what that means, I don't know. It's Me'al LaTeva. And any miracle that's Me'al LaTeva, certain people want to be able to explain it. And if they can't explain it in a scientific way, then they say it's a myth. I feel differently. If we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, capable of everything, then there's laws of nature that are in operation. And therefore, when you lift an object and you let go of it, it'll fall to the ground because gravity is one of those miracles of nature. But if you are in a suspended situation where the laws of nature temporarily are suspended, then you can expect, or you won't be surprised when an object that you're holding and you let go of it will rise or stay in the same place or go to the left or go to the right or disintegrate. Anything can happen. And when nature goes back to itself, it doesn't mean, well, how do we cope with the fact that the earth and the sun stood still? Wouldn't that mean that the earth and the sun would attract each other and we would get closer to the sun and eventually burn up? No, that's part of God's suspension of nature. So Beshalach, in a way, is a celebration of open miracles, some subtle ones like throwing a stick into the water and it became sweet, and the Mun, which is on the open miracle side. Although, even that, people want to explain the phenomenon of the Mun, and they say it was like this or that, and they found it and whatever. So look, you either believe in miracles that God could do anything that he wants, or you say, no, I don't think he does those kind of things, but the timing of a miracle is important also. The splitting of the sea was two things. It was the physical splitting of the sea so that we could walk through it, and it was the timing of the splitting of the sea. Worst case scenario would have been Egypt brought us back to Mitzrayim, Chas v'Shalom, and 2 days later, the sea split. Big deal. The timing was there, and that's a factor in appreciation of miracles also. So remember to take a bird to lunch on Friday and have a good week and a good Shabbos. And Amir Tzashem, Monday is already Tu B'Shvat. So we really should have spent more time on it, but we'll honor Tu B'Shvat by learning more things about it on the day itself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat
Thanks.
shalom. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom.
Tzivia, you look like you have something on your mind.